In this episode of Movie Rollers, we talk about Shelter and 28 years later, The Bone Temple. Time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Greetings.
Hello, everyone.
If we look like we're wearing the same clothes as we were
on
the last podcast, that's because we are. Because we've just
recorded. These are bad times.
That's right. None of us got...
I love how Yasti's still wearing his Begonia t-shirt.
He is, very proudly.
I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that did...
It's in my top five, but we'll talk about
it. Next podcast. Show.
I was just going to say, yeah, we have a special coming up where we're going to talk about our thoughts on the 2026... I always ask this question every year. Are these the 2025 Oscars or are they 2026 Oscars? Or are they?
They're the 2026 Oscars, which are celebrating the 2025 films, okay. I think.
That would make sense to me, but
yeah.
I never know. So, yes, we...
Clearly you don't like that answer because you ask the question every year, so...
It's because I don't listen. Yes, so we will be definitely talking about that, plus our favourite movies of the year, so...
I have to apologise about my voice.
Yes.
So I lost my voice while we were travelling... And it's taking its time to come back.
I know, I had weeks of peace and quiet. Yeah, no, we got a humdinger of a cold while we were...
Before we travelled.
Yes, well, I mean, that's right. Yeah, no, I was down for the count Christmas Day. We travelled not long after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a beast.
Yes.
A beast of a
yeah, a I believe many bug. People have got this. Actually, you had it too, right?
Yeah, it took me...
It's taken a long time. I don't know if it's an age thing or...
I just think our immune systems haven't had a good workout since COVID.
Correct.
Like, we were masking for a while. We were, you know, hand sanitizing for a while, and that's all seemingly gone out of the window. So when we get something, it really wallops us.
Yeah. But
anyway.
Should we talk about a new snack?
Yes.
Don't rustle your paper too much there.
Okay, sorry.
But
okay.
Rustle away, but I mean, don't...
So these are called...
Las legítimas y acreditas torta de aceite de Inés Rosales.
Yes, they're delicious, basically.
Translate means the legal and accredited tortas of olive oil from Inés Rosales and from this town, Calle Real in Castilla de la Cuesta in Spain.
Yes.
This is one of those European things where they have to be made a certain way.
Yeah.
Correct. So these are made in Spain.
Certifiable.
Correct. Yes.
So yes, we got
so
these
they're called tortas, but they're kind of like a cookie meets a
cracker.
Yeah, cookie meets a cracker.
Indian.
They're sweet. Yeah.
But they're not overly sweet.
They're not overly sweet, mm-hmm. and they're lightly flavored, and they are absolutely divine.
Yes,
they are really good. And I'm while we go into the podcast, at some point I will talk about my Camo jars. These are peanut flavor sandwich thin biscuits.
Yeah, and Joe purposely bought peanut because he knows that Yassi and I don't like it. And I thought it was milk chocolate, actually, when we bought them.
Well,
and I just realized it was peanut butter. I'm like,
that's pretty
that's
low
a bit naughty to that's buy something that you can't share defense, with Yassi and I.
In my defense, I said, well, you know, it's not you're allergic. You can try it. But in the store, I was like, these look good. And you were like, oh, yes, they do.
Because I thought it was milk chocolate.
There's a picture of a peanut on the box.
I know, but my eyesight's not good, Joe.
Clearly.
You should know this.
All the more for me.
Yeah, so that's why Yazdi and I are having the orange and lemon tortas.
Yes,
and Joe is going to enjoy his peanut butter things on his own.
They're individually wrapped.
Okay.
That I do like about Asian snacks.
Yes. Yeah, really, really.
The nice thing about Asian snacks generally.
Yes. So very well packaged.
They're very well packaged.
For sure.
All right. Do we have time
yes,
to do
yes,
a
absolutely.
Pick?
Yes.
Why don't we do a streaming pick?
Yes.
Should I go first?
Yes.
Because I'm not ready.
Oh, yes.
You go ahead.
Oh, surprise.
So I'm coming late to this, but I've been ready with this for the last 2 months. My recommendation is the show, which has been the number one show on HBO all through the holidays and through January. It's the show Heated Rivalry, which is about, it is this little Canadian show which approached HBO And HBO said, no, we're not going to do it. So they went and they made this show like on a streaming service in Canada called Crave.
Okay.
And Netflix, after they saw it, picked it up, and it's been the number one show in all of December, all of January.
Netflix or HBO?
Sorry, HBO, HBO, HBO. Okay. Let me correct it. Number one show on HBO.
Okay.
It's about two competing hockey teams.
And
it's in the hockey world, but the captains of the two hockey teams fall in love with each other.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. So it's six episodes. They're about 50 minutes each. There's a lot of skin. That's probably the reason why Netflix probably originally refused to watch it.
HBO.
I keep saying Netflix. Mm. Most people think the first two episodes are just porn or soft porn, and they just
like Bridgerton.
Yes, like Bridgerton. There's no frontal nudity, okay. But outside of that, they push it.
Okay,
they push it. Most people, a lot of people say this show is nothing different than a Hallmark movie, and I understand where they're coming from. Mm. Some people say it's just porn, and I understand where they're coming from. I am amongst a group of people who believe that there are two episodes in the movie. Everybody agrees episode 5 out of 6, the fifth episode, is probably one of the best hours on television ever.
Period. Oh, wow.
Right?
Okay.
I agree with them. Okay. I actually think episode 3 is probably one of the best hours in television.
Wow.
Because I love romantic comedy.
Yeah, I know.
I love a well-written story about two people falling in love.
Yeah.
And in episode 3, this show does something which a lot of shows do, which is that they're following a certain group of characters, and then suddenly one episode, it's like a whole other characters.
Yeah.
And so episode 3 is a perfectly self-contained 45 minutes about these two other characters, which is just chef's kiss.
Oh, I feel like that looks
out...
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us.
Right, that one.
And it ached. By the time I got to the sixth episode, like many, I was sobbing.
Oh.
And I was very moved. And I was like...
Is that because you were missing us? I think that may be because you were missing us.
Yes, it's so beautifully written. Yes, I was missing you guys. But really, this show gave me life during the holidays.
Oh.
Because it's... And it also presents love, especially like between two men.
So you watched it very quickly then. That sounds like you watched it.
Yes, by the time I got to, because it was recommended by a lot of people.
Yeah.
The first two episodes, I'm like, what is this? This is just silly.
Yeah.
By the time I finished episode 3, I was so into it that then I was like rationing it. I watched like one episode at a time. So if the very... I don't want to say explicit, but the very frank nature...
Saucy.
The saucy nature doesn't turn you off. I think really...
Yeah.
It's amazing. It presents... It's so beautifully written.
Hmm.
And all... It's about these two guys. One of them is Russian. The other one is Canadian.
Okay.
And there's stories about their families and how they will never accept them. And it's kind of... You know, they're kind of keeping it a secret. And... By the time it gets to the last end, it's so well written that it just grounds everything.
Okay, so what is it called? Heated Rivalry.
It's called Heated Rivalry.
On HBO.
On HBO. Everybody should watch it, I think. It's quite something.
Okay. Very nice. So my pick is following on from the India theme. I really wanted to watch this and have the experience of watching a movie in India, in an Indian cinema, Yazdi, that you've told us about so many times. It is the movie that is now streaming on Netflix called Dhurandhar. Mm-hmm. And I'll spell it for you. Dhurandhar. It's got a great cast. Ranveer Singh, Akshay Khanna, Sanjay Dutt is in here. Those are old Bollywood names.
Yes.
Yep, old Bollywood names. The description is an underworld saga following a network of criminals, informants, and operatives whose lives intersect navigating covert operations, espionage, and betrayals. It is hyper-masculine. It is hyper-violent. But there's something in here that's really got me. It's got an amazing soundtrack.
Mm.
The music is incredible. It's mixed like Bollywood songs from the 70s. Into like modern
techno
dance tunes. Yep. It's got some good original stuff in here in like Arabic. It is a Joe, I think you put it nicely. We watched this. It's a three and a half hour movie, 3 hours and 32 minutes. We watched it over two evenings, which was very doable. It's subtitled, obviously. It's in the language, in the Hindi language. Joe, you described it really well, where you said it's kind of like a propaganda movie in some ways.
Well, is it a sprawling epic, or it's more focused?
It's very focused. It is over a period of years, but it's essentially about the insertion of a spy into the Pakistani mafia / terrorist network.
It does weave together, it's based on true, so I think
they've taken certain facts, historical events from like the late 90s through to the mid 2010s and woven them together with dubious thread. Because I think what I meant by propaganda, Rashmi, I think it's very in line with populist politics in India today.
Yeah, sure.
And so, I want to be careful how I talk about this, because, you know, I don't want anything they say to get misconstrued. But I mean, I just think that that's what it is.
Which is dangerous.
Well, right.
Could be.
For a movie that is as hyper-masculine and violent as it is, I think, you know, it and the way that it plays up the events for, I won't go there because it is spoiler territory.
Yeah,
there are certain events that have happened that they
dramatize,
weave into the narrative.
Yeah,
and then it is done to make you quite rightfully angry.
Yeah,
right? let's not beat around the bush there, but. At the same time, you know, I think, and that's what I'm saying, they're playing with fact, and then they've woven this narrative around the fact, and I don't know how much of it is based in reality and how much of it is artistic license.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of artistic license, because the violence in this movie is, I mean, we talk about comic book, tone from Send Help. Like, this is the most violent thing I've seen in Indian cinema.
Yes, agree.
Like,
that's saying
even in Hollywood. I mean, it's John Wick-esque.
But not like a small amount. Like a huge amount.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's just some...
And again, this isn't meant as a review of the movie in any way, shape or form. It's just we both watched it. But that's my recommendation.
Yeah.
Again, if you are allergic to hyperviolence, hypermasculinity, then don't watch this. If you don't like subtitles, don't watch this. I really enjoyed this movie. Mm. And I'm shocked that part two is already coming out in March.
Mm. Does it end... on a cliffhanger, or it kind of resolves?
No, it resolves. It's a standalone movie, but it's very clear, and they tell you that part two is coming out in March of 2026. So that's like literally 4 weeks' time, 5 weeks' time, which is shocking. So I don't know if they made two parts to the movie, or they made a double header or something. Yeah. But it's very good. It's very good. The only thing that I didn't like was Ranveer Singh's really long hair.
Yeah.
Huh.
He has really, really long hair.
Really, I mean, it's like, a full-on
really
mane.
Ridiculous.
It's a full-on mane and beard that's actually quite comical.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
All right, my pick then for my favorite thing that I watched on Netflix in January was Skyscraper Live. This was Alex Honnold.
Oh my god.
The free climber.
And it's available now as a recording.
It is, But I'm not going to recommend it, because it was my favorite thing to watch. But the commentary was actually quite laughably bad. And so they did this live comment. So Skyscraper Live is Alex Honnold, who is...
Of Free Solo,
which is the movie I will recommend instead.
Okay.
So don't watch Skyscraper Live, watch Free Solo.
Okay.
It's much more accomplished as a film watching experience, but... Skyscraper Live is Alex Honnold attempting to climb Taipei's 101 building, one of the tallest buildings in the world, without ropes, without safety equipment. He starts on the sidewalk by the side of the building, and then he ascends all the way up. And this was streamed live on Netflix globally.
And how long did it take him?
The climb was about a couple. I think the climbing time was like around 90 minutes. So with some croft here and there, the actual viewing experience is 2 hours. I don't recommend
it. It would take me longer to climb the stairs in that building. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Anyway. I mean, he is an incredibly accomplished climber, right? So, you know, there's definitely
Did there have people in nets waiting for him? They know? I'm serious.
It didn't look like it.
No, they had no safety.
The five minutes I watched it.
He was climbing the building. And so he's a credibly accomplished climber, but, you know, I mean, and to him, this was ostensibly a fairly easy climb because he did kind of, you know, schlep his way up the building without without safety.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't watch Skyscraper Live because the whole point of that is that it was a live stream. And the tension for me, and honestly, when I say it was one of the best things I watched in January, Rashmi was out that evening. She was on a girls' night out. Mm-hmm. I was at home alone. I was standing, and I'm pointing over there because that's where our TV is. I was standing up off the couch at the TV saying, dude, like...
Don't die.
No, like, he kept doing... there are a couple of points where he gets a choice to do something difficult or something easy. He does the difficult thing. And I was like, you have proven to me that you're, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Now, get off the side of that sheet metal thing that with one slip could cost you your life. Because it was live, right?
Yeah.
I was, like, screaming at the TV. But as a watching experience, again, rewatch it if you want. But a lot of the tension and the abysmal commentary, a lot of people have spoken about the commentary, which was kind of laughably bad, you know, because
Was it just one person or many people?
It was a couple of people, okay. But they were... I think they were trying to talk up the drama, which you didn't need to do.
Mm.
And I'm no expert on climbing at all, but I've seen a couple of climbing documentaries. You know, I wanted... If you're going to go into, like, technical stuff, like, talk technical stuff, don't, like, bring it down for, like, Saturday morning TV, right? Like, that's kind of how they were talking about... The danger, the absolute peril... and you know Mark Rober, who's a famous YouTuber there, he's a great YouTube personality, but I didn't think he was the right choice for narrating this thing. But watch Free Solo if you haven't seen it.
Which is great. We've all seen it.
We won, I think, the Oscar for best documentary like four or five years ago. We watched it at Tribeca with Alex Honnold in the crowd, and it was, you know, again, if you get vertigo, it's not a great choice, but it was really fun watch. So let's recap our choices. Rashmi, sorry, Yazdi, you picked...
Heated Rivalry on HBO.
Rashmi, yours is...
Dhurandhar on Netflix.
And mine is Skyscraper Live, not really, Free Solo.
Very good.
Okay.
All right, let's get into our movie reviews.
Okay, so I'll get us started with the movie Shelter. I think there have been at least 8 other movies with the same title. But this is Shelter, which is released in 2026. It is directed by this individual who apparently has made lots of movies before. I haven't heard of him, but he directed Angel Has Fallen. He directed Kandahar, which I really liked. I don't know if you watched. He directed Greenland. His name is... Rick Roman Waugh. How do you pronounce W-A-U-G-H?
Yeah, well...
The way you said it.
The way you said it, yeah.
Okay, so it's written by Ward Perry. And the one-liner for the movie is, a recluse on a remote Scottish island rescues a girl from the sea, unleashing a perilous sequence of events that culminate in an attack on his home, compelling him to face his turbulent history. I think if this movie is known for anything, it's known for being a vehicle for Jason Statham.
Statham.
Jason Statham. I know who he is. He's bald.
I've
seen many of his movies.
I know.
I thought it was Stratham. No, Statham. Okay. Harriet Walter plays the female interest. But Bill Nighy is here, who is always welcome, as is Naomi Ackie, who is in so many good movies. And we saw her last as the lead in... what was that movie with Channing Tatum on an island?
Oh, the one that Zoe Kravitz
directed.
Yeah, I'll find it.
So anyway, we saw her last there. And so I couldn't make this screening because I had gone for a dinner. But I know that you both saw it, as did our friends Alison and Toby.
Yes, who are listeners of the podcast.
Yes. Hirashmi.
Yes.
Tell us, what did you think of Shelter? Is it worth seeking out, or should we seek shelter from Shelter?
Look, whenever there is a movie where Jason Statham is headlining, you always need to knock a few points off, right? Because it's never going to be...
Oh, don't be unfair. Don't be unfair.
No, but it's not going to be peace and war. It's not going to be, you know, it's not war and peace. It's going to be a Jason Statham movie. And this is exactly what it is what it says on the box. It's a Jason Statham movie. It's absolutely fun. It's a fun ride. If you start to look too closely, it's going to fall apart. It's got a lot of holes in it. But it's a super fun Friday night decompress, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. That movie with Naomi Aki is Blink Twice.
Yes, I was just looking it up.
Yes.
All right. So, I mean, here's the thing. I agree with you, Rashmi. I think this as a piece of cerebral entertainment is sorely lacking. But I mean, you don't go to see Jason Statham for that. You go there to see action. Overall, I mean, I have to say, I mean, I was kind of disappointed with it.
Yeah.
And because I did go there to see this big kind of Jason Statham kind of action movie. And, you know, this is my kind of stuff, right? You know, I like a good, well-executed, you know, action movie. But I feel like there are a lot of logical inconsistencies in the movie. So, again, you can't pay too close attention, right? So, case in point, there is a rescue at sea. Jason Statham dives into the water and he rescues somebody, and then he's in the boat administering CPR seconds later in a completely dry sweater.
I didn't even notice that.
I did notice that, and there's the problem right there.
Right.
Like, why am I noticing that? I shouldn't care about that, right? The drama and the moment should be, you know. Instead, I'm kind of pinpointing these little things in my mind. Now, you know... It just feels, the whole thing feels very...
derivative?
No, it feels very first-time director.
Yeah,
right?
Even though it's not.
There are some missteps in terms of how the movie is put together. And again, those things can be forgiven if the story is compelling and narratively interesting. I don't think this quite had my interest enough. So this isn't a bad Jason Statham movie. This just is a somewhat disappointing...
Middle range.
I mean...
Not Crank. I love Crank. Have you seen Crank?
No.
God, it's so good.
I mean, sometimes something can be so bad it's good.
Correct.
And this isn't so bad that it's that good. For me, it's a fun ride. What I found was, I think there's a whole script somewhere and they forgot to film some parts of it.
Right.
Because there's big gaping holes about the person that he saved is so important to save and who that person is. We still don't know. So there's a lot of unanswered questions. But in terms of the chemistry of him and this Bodhi Ray, what's her name? Bodhi Ray... Breathnack. The chemistry is the young girl. The chemistry between them is really good. Bill Nye. I don't know what Bill Nye is doing in this movie.
I don't think he knows what he's doing.
I mean, he's a caricature of some bad Bond villain.
I don't think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly what you said.
But he has to go to the grocery store too.
That's true, and prices are on the rise.
Yes,
but. I mean, Naomi Aki's really good in this. I liked her in it, but she's in a different movie.
Yes.
So, I don't know. It's not a waste of time. It's a great Friday night decompress is how I would describe it.
That's
if you're
exactly
looking for
right.
something to watch on the back of an aeroplane, watch this movie. It's perfectly okay.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I think I've been kind of... I sound like I'm a real down on it. I was in the moment with this movie. I went on its journey. I was just irritated that it wasn't better, because, you know, there's a tone to it that's like brooding and very serious. And my favorite Statham movies are, you know, like Meg.
Meg, too, yes.
Right, there's a nod and a wink to the ridiculousness of it. You know, here we have Bollywood-style fights.
Yes.
People getting their faces pummeled.
Yes, it is violent.
And kind of getting up and then, you know, pummeling back. And, like, you know, the incredulity of action movies, like John Wick, is not even slightly realistic.
Yeah.
Right? But because, you know, again, he can have his head smashed with an iron bar and then, you know, kind of dust off his shoulder and walking down the hall. Right? But in this movie, because because frankly it wasn't good enough, like, those things end up being like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Too many of those kind of moments.
It does feel a little derivative of, like, John Wick meets Bourne Identity, but those are such good movies. Mm. This isn't as good a movie as those.
Yeah.
And our dear friend Alison was laughing about the time it took to drive from Scotland to London, right. Which he does in, like, you know, a four-hour period. Yeah. So, you know, it's just, again, it's incredulous. But despite that, I still like that central relationship between him and the young girl. But the fact that he doesn't feed her for like 3 days, or, you know, she doesn't change her clothes, or it's just weird. There's like,
right. Why are
there's a lot of there are a lot of things that are missing. I think maybe there was like a whole reel of movie somewhere that they forgot to edit in. Maybe, I don't know.
To me, it's a couple of script rewrites away from something a lot better.
Yeah.
I think None of this is particularly original. None of this is particularly...
It's a Jason Statham movie.
But I feel like it...
Could do better.
Right. The work wasn't put
should
in
do better.
To tighten up those loose ends. And, you know, it was clearly made at maybe like some budget pressure or time. They needed to do reshoots. They couldn't. So they're assembling what they have. Again,
there's a really cute dog in it.
Yeah, there is. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So... Again, you know, I would have liked more of that story.
Yeah.
Like, you know, instead, you know, we don't get that.
So. Yeah. I did find myself looking at my watch because it's a very slow start. Like, it takes a good 25, 30 minutes to get to the inciting incident.
Okay.
Yeah, the pacing is off.
And then it all happens suddenly.
Yeah.
So, and okay, we can sum this up.
64% on... Yeah. For critics and 89% for audience.
Yeah, I'm going to be one of the Bar Humbug critics. I'll give you my score. Out of 10, which is exactly in line with that. I just wanted it to be better because I think there is a wonderful movie in here somewhere. This idea, you know, the premise of why he is the loner he is, as that becomes revealed, is really interesting. You know, and it's relevant in terms of, you know, it's a modern day type spy, espionage type thing, but you don't buy it. If you don't buy it, Rashmi.
Yeah, exactly. 6 out of 10.
Okay.
It's perfectly fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we won't be talking about this time next year.
We will not.
We won't even remember the title.
Or any time this year.
Any time more. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our friends should chime in too.
Yes, yeah. I will. Yes.
Yeah.
I think one loved it, and one was like, "Oh God, what did I watch?"
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have an audience and a critic.
Yeah.
In terms of in terms of their response.
But one is a super fan of Jason Statham.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I think that helps. Again, if you love Jason Statham, go watch this movie.
Yeah.
On to better things, hopefully, Yazdi. 28 years later, Bone Temple. Now, I'm shocked this one came out so quickly because it feels like literally last month or 2 months ago saw...
It was early last year.
Early?
I think it was in the first quarter. Check.
I feel like it was summer.
Before we go there, can I just say these kamojas are delicious.
Are they? Well, we like
them. Are they very peanutty?
Kind of like... No, it's like a cookie with peanut butter in the middle.
Oh, no.
I might ask you to give me... Okay. Live from Oh, they're not bad.
No, there you go.
They're all not bad. You have to say they're not bad. They're not very peanut buttery.
Okay.
I think you should try them.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about 28 years later, The Bone Temple.
Okay.
Rashmi, are you going to tell us?
Yes, so expanding upon the world created by Danny Boyle and Alex Garland in 28 years later, but turning that world on its head, Nia DaCosta now directs 28 years later The Bone Temple. In a continuation of the epic story, Dr. Kelson, played by Ralph Fiennes, makes a discovery that could change the world as they know it. And Spike's Alfie Williams encounter with Jimmy Crystal, played by Jack O'Connell, becomes a nightmare he can't escape. In the world of the Bone Temple, the infected are no longer the only threat to survival. The inhumanity of the survivors can be stranger and more terrifying. And we saw the Bone Temple in the last movie, which was the 28 years later.
Which that movie should have been called The Bone Temple, but carry on.
Yeah. Yazdi, again, you were the only one of us that saw this.
Yeah, so Alex Garland has written every version of 28 days, weeks, years later, and this is his latest one. It was very obvious, I think it, so I did check the first part, 28 years later, was released in June of 2025.
Okay, so it feels
so
like
6 months, less than 6 months here. And it's interesting, the previous one, that one was directed by Danny Boyle and it's had all the Danny Boyle-isms.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the biggest fan of it, but I liked this movie. I know you guys liked it a lot more. This one is directed by Nia DaCosta, who last did Hedda, which we saw, which was on Amazon Prime, which was not horror at all.
Hedda. Yeah, the one that it was a contender for Oscars recent, like within the last 2 months.
Correct.
Yeah.
So here's what I would say. The score, the Tomato Meter score for this movie is 92% for critics. And 88% for the audience. I probably belong in the 8%. I'll tell you why. I think this is a very
The 8% who don't like
it. And I'll tell you exactly why I didn't like it. So you may like it. So this movie has a different... Because, you know, Danny Boyle can't help but make everything very kinetic and fast. Yeah. This movie is a little bit more... slow and it, you know, you.
Well, Nia DaCosta did the Candyman.
She did the Candyman remake, which was brilliant.
Excellent. Yeah.
You didn't like it.
Yeah, you liked it. Yeah.
And partly the pacing of it was what was upsetting.
So this one, I mean, I'm okay with the pacing too, but the thing which really turned me off, and this is a Yazdi problem, is that the movie front loads some violence which is so sadistic and it comes so early on.
How come all these movies are so violent?
And I'm okay with violence, but it was just mean and cruel. And I think the point of the whole, this particular entry is that humans are far worse than any zombies, right? That humans left to their own devices. Like, essentially, the Jack O'Connell character was introduced at the end of the previous movie.
Yes.
Do you remember? He has this cabal of people.
Yes.
And I thought that the little boy gets taken in by the cabal and they kind of protect him. Instead, what we find in this movie is that this group of people are just heinous. And they're all under the sway of this guy. And, you know, he like rules like a authoritarian. And if anybody speaks out, he kills them. But the worst thing is they go around capturing people and tormenting them and hanging them and cutting open their heads, scalping them and eating their brains. And it's all this nonsense. And I was like, I was so turned off by the violence of it. And it seemed so unnecessary that it just yanked me out of the movie. And then I couldn't get back into it.
Right.
So I think if you have a higher threshold for this kind of violence, then maybe you'll do better. I think Ralph Fiennes is excellent in this movie. He was in the previous one as well. There is a thing in this movie where, and I don't remember if this was in the earlier part of the movie, where he kind of has jerry-rigged a turntable, which doesn't need electricity. It can be cracked.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then he plays these 80s songs, and he's like, while he's working on it. So I love that, you know, he plays 80s songs, and then the climax is also based on an 80s song. There is a bit about... sorry, I'm rambling, but I'll stop
in
a minute.
No.
There is a bit about... remember in the first movie, there was this super zombie?
Yes.
Yes.
In the train?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was just insane,
Yes.
Got pregnant.
No, there was...
Correct.
Yes.
So he develops a mentor relationship with the super zombie, and the super zombie almost starts becoming human. And I kind of was understanding. I think this movie is trying to say that humans can prevail against their worst instincts. But it just didn't add up for me. I was just so turned off. I was like, I don't want to watch this. This is just...
Nah.
Yeah, so that's my reaction, though. I think most people really like it. It's well put together. And then this is the other thing which kind of was a negative against the movie is because the 28... So they're rebooting the franchise with 28 years later, mm-hmm. right? Which we saw last year. It was very obvious from the last 5 minutes of the movie that a sequel's coming. And they do exactly the same thing with this one, is that instead of wrapping this up, there's a proper conclusion, right? That things happen and, you know, certain characters are lost, whatever. Last 5 minutes, it's like, okay, now it's a setup for the third one. And it's a spoiler, so I won't say, but that kind of turned me off as well. Like, can't you just make a fully contained movie without, you know, reeling us on? So what I'm going to say is...
Sorry, did this one pick up on the end of the last one?
It literally begins the moment after the last one ended.
Okay, you may have said that. I missed it.
No, I did not. It literally begins the moment after.
Okay.
And then, you know, Jack O'Connell, who was so good in Sinners, remember? He was...
Yes.
You know, he was so good in it. He's just reduced to this heinous, abhorrent shell of a man who's just... He's just power crazy and he, like, nothing is beyond his means. I think he's wasted in that role, which doesn't get him more to do. So for me, it was a 5 out of 10, but anybody else go, I think you guys will do better.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your score?
5 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't love last year's entry.
Yeah.
It's Danny Boyle is always very interesting, but the universe wasn't engaging enough for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's it for this podcast. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for watching on YouTube if you have done that. We appreciate you. There was a little bit of a missing piece of video in the middle because my camera decided to spit out its recording card. But
I saw that.
That's a production thing I'll have to look into. Again, we will be back very soon. We intend to do a podcast on our thoughts about the 2025-2026
Oscars. Best of
the year. And our annual Muggies, which is where we talk about our favourite pictures of the year. Now, winners can get a Movie Wallers mug if they call us. So,
this is true.
Ryan Coogler.
Do you want a muggy?
I think you're high up on the list, on my list at least, to get a muggy. All right. Until then.
Too many movies.
Too many movies, too little time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.